This is Lesson 11 on Bible Prophecy, and we're going to tie several things together. We covered the Metonic Moons in our last lesson, and we're beginning to build a timeline. And so to rightly divide and understand the way that I believe the Bible teaches the end of this age, we need to understand several different terminologies and concepts. And one of them today that we will look at will be something that we call the days of awe, and also the day of the Lord. And so the reason last week that we were teaching on the revelatory information of the Metonic Moons is the fact that it lets us understand that what we thought was a glaring mistake in the word or contradiction actually can be fulfilled perfectly. And once again, we find that it remains true to the timeline and the calendar of God. To really understand the unfolding of Bible prophecy, you've got to understand the seven-day plan of God, which we've covered, 6,000 years of man, then the day of the Lord, which is 1,000 years long, and then the birth pangs, or the time of Jacob's trouble, which is the transitional period from the sixth day of man to the rest day of God, which is a seven-year period that ushers in the return of the Messiah, and of course to the unbeliever, the first time the Jews will accept him. So we have found out that we have fulfilled the four biblical feasts that were the fall planting time feasts, of which Christ fulfilled when he was crucified on Passover, buried at unleavened bread, raised at the Feast of First Fruits, and then of course told them they had to go and tarry in Jerusalem, and they had to wait on the Holy Spirit to be poured out until the next appointment on the calendar, which was Shavuot, or the day of Pentecost. So that has left us with the three final appointments of the Lord that he will plug into his seven-day calendar. We have seen this 7,000-year plan was handed down all the way from Adam to Polycarp, where it was last recorded. And then, of course, we now understand the 6,000 years of man and the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ being the seventh day, being the Shabbat. So what we are looking at is, you will notice that in the Bible there's a 40-day period where they were 40 years in the wilderness. You will notice that there's 40 days when Moses was on the mountaintop. You'll notice that there's 40 days that Christ is seen alive after the resurrection. You'll notice that he begins his ministry at the 40-day fast. And then many of you that have been with us through our teachings, you understand the season of Teshuvah, which means to return and to repent. And that as well is a 40-day period that begins on the 11th month of the Hebrew, the 12th month of the Hebrew calendar, which is the month of Elul. And it begins on the 1st of Elul, and it runs through the 10th day of the first month on God's calendar, which is called Tishri. And so it begins on the 1st of Elul, runs the 30 days of Elul, then the first 10 days of Tishri, which ends on the Day of Atonement. These 40 days are called the time of Teshuvah. They're broken down, and I won't rehash how they're broken down, but the final 10 days are, they begin at the opening of the gates, which is another name for the Feast of the Trumpets. Then they end on the day called the closing of the gates, which is known as the Day of Atonement. So it is my theory and thesis that God will not do anything other than by his appointments, by his calendar, and by his clock. And so to rightly understand what we are doing, we must first have understood these things. So we see where we are waiting on the Feast of Trumpets, which will is, of course, where we're taken to the wedding. It is the transportation, which will be the blowing of the shofar, called the opening of the gates, which is we call the resurrection, the day of the awakening blast, or the rapture of the church. These final 10 days of Teshuvah are called Yamin Noraim, or the days of awe, or Jacob's time of trouble, and they cover 1 week. The day of the Feast of Trumpets is the only one of two only 48-hour days in the Bible. Therefore, the days of trumpets begins on the first day of the first month of God's calendar, Tishrei 1, and runs for 48 hours. And then we have the 1 week, or the 7 days, between the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement, which makes the final 10 days of Teshuvah. And this is the time whenever the greeting is, may your name be inscribed in the book of life, so that you can leave in trumpets and you don't have to go through the days of awe, the awesome days, and of course they end on the final day of judgment. A couple of things I want to throw out. One of the things that we in our Christian religion have need to come back to understand is the Feast of Trumpets is actually called Yom Hadin. It is a day of judgment. And then the Day of Atonement is also a Yom Hadin. It is a day of judgment. So you have two judgments. You have the judgment of the bride, Then when Christ returns, you have the judgment of those that have become believers or unbelievers. So we're waiting for the Feast of Trumpets, which is where we believe the rapture will happen. And of course, then we're looking at what brings us right up to that time, and then the 7 years in between it and the Day of Atonement, which is the 7 years where the world goes led by the war of the Antichrist, and first 3.5 years and the second 3.5 years. And then, of course, the Lord, if he remains true to his calendar, I believe returns on the Day of Atonement, 7 years after the rapture of the church, and then after he comes back a week later, when he sends forth and blows the shofar HaGadol, the great shofar. Then the angels you see in Matthew, where they go forth, one is in the field, one is taken, one is left, one is in the bed. That is not the rapture. That is the shofar HaGadol, and that is where the judgment is in the earth for those that have become believers in Mashiach, are taken to the wedding feast at the tabernacle or the temple that will be rebuilt. And those that are not, where he separates the sheep and the goats, they become the food at the Feast of Leviathan, where he says, I will let you feast on the flesh of captains and kings in the book of Revelations. And the mouth of hell, the Gehenna Valley there in the foot of the temple, will open. And once again, according to the word of God, then the beast, the false prophet, and all his followers will be cast into that pit for 1,000 years until the great white throne of judgment. So, Feast of Tabernacles then is where he's crowned King of Kings on the earth, and he becomes the King of Earth. And of course, the rapture is where we go to the marriage supper. So, the timeline that we have more or less laid out, and where I believe we are, is in phase one. I believe it's already begun in part. How long it will take, I'm not sure. But things will wax worse and worse. And I recognize I lose a lot of church members because we're not trying to express to you how to get more out of God now. We're trying to build your faith. We're going to go through some tough stuff. But that brings me joy because I'm looking up my redemption. I'm not in love with this world. And so if you're in love with your life and you're in love with this world, you haven't really found the riches of Christ yet, because he who loses his life, and that doesn't mean by losing your head, it means I've evaporated. I'm in Christ. I'm in his works. I'm in his will. I don't think like the world. I could care less about The Voice or American Idol, all that stuff. I mean, it's entertainment at times, but who cares? You know, it's about anyway. So I believe that where we are is we're at a time of a terrible shaking about to happen, because that's the love of God. He is our Father, and as you know, fathers that don't get involved in their children's lives, usually their children don't do real well. People that don't teach discipline to their children, we visit later in prison if they don't teach them to respect authority. And so what God's doing is, because he is a loving father, and if he doesn't chasten his children, they will become a word that he called begins with the B, and I won't say it. But what's happened is we're an hour of grace, and we're about to leave that transition of time at the rapture, and now we go into the judgment of God, or the correction of God right before the judgment, where I've always said it's like God takes his belt off because he loves, and he corrects so that people will come to the knowledge of God. He's, you know, eternity's a long time compared to a little sliver of 70 years of this brevity of life that's like a vapor. And so I believe that what we're going to see is, in during this terrible shaking, some things that I see in my mind's eye, this is my opinions only, we're going to see the Battle of Gog and Magog that's heating up, that will usher in the Antichrist. We're going to see some financial collapses. We're going to see some terroristic acts. We're already seeing these things all over the world. I was in Istanbul and Greece and wherever all I was about 4 or 5 years ago, after having been there 5 years prior or 4 years prior to that. They've been through such financial ruin you wouldn't even recognize the cleanliness of the cities or the problems. And the world's in financial chaos right now. I'll just say it like that. America will follow. And so as far as terroristic attacks, I believe you'll begin to see that in America sooner than we hope. Will that be 2 years from now, 2 months from now, or 2 days from now? And then, of course, I believe these things that will come upon the face of the earth, and I know we are mainly only interested in America, so the things I've just mentioned, I believe, are things that are coming to America. This is my opinion. Has nothing to do with salvation. If I'm wrong, I'm just telling you what I've prepared for and what I see. I believe the church will be here, and you need to prepare your families to go through some time that might possibly, according to the government, they're telling you to do the same thing for different reasons. You need to have some things put up so you can take care of your family. If you don't do that, then you say, well, I'm living by faith. Well, you haven't read your Bible. It says study the ant. We're supposed to take care of ourselves. All right. So then I believe as these things happen that it brings believers to a place where they have a true faith in Christ. And I believe then the rapture of the church will begin at the Feast of Trumpets some year. And immediately during, before, and after, you're going to see a great mass exodus from some country that is called Babylon the Great, which is about to be destroyed by a confederation of Russia and the Muslim herds and the nations that destroyed ancient Babylon. And if you will draw a line around the Medo-Persian Empire, you will find the same nations that destroyed and took over ancient Babylon will be the nations that destroy whoever modern Babylon is, that God finally says, I must bring judgment because you started out with me as your heritage and now you have blatantly gone against me. Whatever country that might be has a large Jewish population. And so we see that 144,000 with Jewish heritage, whether they know they're Jews or not, God knows every molecule in our body and the DNA. He knows who's from the 10 lost tribes. There's lots of theories and all this stuff. Doesn't matter to me. Point is this. There's 144,000 will go back to the Middle East. They will have witnessed the destruction, a portion of destruction. They will have witnessed the final revival and the catching away of the church. And I've said to you that I believe that right before the rapture of the church, I'm in disagreement, and it doesn't mean I'm right, but I'm in disagreement with planes falling out of the air and buses crashing and all this because suddenly the pilots and the drivers disagree. I do not believe it'll happen like that. I see no case like that in the Bible to base that on. But rather, my opinion is, because God so awesomely wants to save all souls that he gave us a parable of he that comes to work at 5 o'clock still gets the same wages as the person that came to work at 8 that morning. And my theory, it's just my theory, and for lots of reasons, but one of the main ones, 7 days before the ark shut the door, they were called into the ark. This is my theory. I believe that 1 week before the rapture happens, we're all going to be in church. I believe everybody that is plugged into the head, which is Jesus Christ, knows he's not trying to catch his church off guard. This is a misnomer by us when we were in ignorance in the church. That's a terrible misnomer that's been laid out to the church, and the devil used it wisely because people then set dates and did all these strange things. So now no one's talking about the rapture because they're afraid they'll be thrown in with the cuckoos. Well, I'm just going to preach the word, and who it brings me to, and who it separates me from, it separates me from. There is a rapture. And so my personal belief is that everyone that's plugged into God that's going in the rapture, they won't be piloting planes. They'll be down at the church calling their sons, their daughters, their neighbors, their lovers, saying, look, this is it. And it's not going to be a man that tells you, so don't look to me to tell you when the rapture's coming or any other individual. You'll know it if you're going in the rapture. Because just like he drew the animals, he's going to draw you to the houses of God. And the church will be full. And you know what? A lot of people that aren't living for God now, they'll recognize it and they're going to come running back in that final week. Now that's an opinion, and I base it on a lot of things I see in the scripture, but I think that's an opinion of hope, and I believe he's a God of hope. So don't give up. Don't give up on your loved ones. God can do more. God knows what he's doing. The rest of us are playing, okay? And then, of course, we can see this large Jewish population. So whoever modern-day Babylon is has to have a very large population of Jews as we see it. We then see the sudden destruction of modern-day Babylon immediately following the rapture of the church. And then we see that because of this, whether Babylon is taken out because that the Russian and Muslim hordes that will come against Israel in the Battle of Gog and Magog recognize the fact that whoever modern-day Babylon is could make a difference in the outcome of the war, they destroy her, or because she decides to get involved, they destroy her. Nevertheless, I believe that destruction is what will bring this thing that we have mentioned as the European Union and the Mediterranean Union, the Western and the Eastern legs of the Roman Empire, that from Israel having joined that, because it was under Roman domain and portions of the Roman Empire, that I believe then you're going to see this world leader arise that will unify the Middle Eastern countries of the old Roman Empire that we aforementioned in an earlier lesson, with Israel, and they will make a pact. It's really an arms treaty, a protection thing. And of course, then he will bring about permission for them, whether through the war, the Dome of the Rock is destroyed, the Muslim shrine that was built a little over 600 years after Christ's death, because the Muslim faith didn't come about till the year 600 years after Christ's death. One of the newest religions around. It's a weird one, isn't it? And he'll give them permission to start sacrifices again on the Temple Mount. We already have sacrifices, for those of you that do not know. And the things I'm sharing with you now are facts that can be verified by you. There was an altar built out by the Dead Sea several years ago now where they have begun practicing the sacrifices. The Jews are ready to, everything's in place to rebuild the Temple. Now, these are not Holocaust sacrifices. These are not sacrifices offered to God. This is just for barbecue purposes. But they are practicing doing the sacrifices. So what we see is this. This world leader then steps forth, makes this peace pact. We have the two witnesses that are sent to earth. They are killed in the middle of the week after 3.5 years. And of course, they're raised in the middle of the week will be Passover. If they're raised 3 days later, they're raised to Feast of First Fruits. God is going to do everything according to his time clock. We also see the temple construction will begin immediately following the rapture of the church. We may see some samples of it already. I know the Temple Mount Faithful took the cornerstone to the Temple Mount many years ago and weren't successful in doing that. And then, of course, the Antichrist in the middle of the week comes forth with his computer chip society where you will pledge an allegiance, whether to buy or sell, new numeration money system. And then, of course, during this time of the 7 years, we see where one-third of the earth will be destroyed by nuclear holocaust, disease, and wars that will kill two-thirds of the earth population. And then we see also what ushers the Antichrist in, and this is my opinion, is you're going to see a merging of the Roman Church and the Muslims. And I'm sorry, spell check didn't catch some of these words, but anyway, you're going to see this merging, and they will come together, in my opinion, now I'm giving you my opinion, through Mary. And Mary will be the avenue by which the Muslims are able to marry the Roman religion, say it like that. And then, of course, that will raise up the false prophet that will forerun. So we're seeing already the beginning of what I'm mentioning. That will be the forerunner of the Antichrist, because this man that will be over a worldwide several billion member church, so to speak, will be the one that points to the Antichrist and says, behold, here he is, the Messiah. And he will be the false Elijah that must come in the Old Testament, because you can't receive Messiah till Elijah comes. And then, of course, we see in the middle of the week where the Antichrist, whenever he raises up his system of the mark of the beast, he proclaims that he is God, just like Antioch Epiphanes did before Christ's time and went into the temple. We see that then he begins to hunt down all that profess and possess the name of Yeshua, Jesus. And they're hunted down and give their heads. And then, of course, we see the return of Christ. And so that's why in Luke 21 and 36, he says, watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. So in Isaiah chapter 26, we begin to broach a few of the Old Testament scriptures to understand that anything that someone teaches you that does not come from a foundation of the schoolmaster, then you might want to question it, because the New Testament is simply commentary on the Old Testament teachings. And this is why we have so many Christian religions today, because you can make the New Testament, and I love the New Testament, and it's of God. But you can make the New Testament say anything if you haven't gone through the schoolmaster. It would be like me bringing to you algebraic equations and trigonometry, and you don't even know how to do addition, multiplication, division. So anything that I am teaching or anyone teaches as a true concept, if it is not based on the fundamental foundations of the 613 laws, for instance, there's religions where women won't cut their hair and they won't wear slacks. Well, that has nothing to do with Scripture. That is tradition. There, you are adding to the Word of God. There are 613 laws. Some, you can't have facial hair. Actually, I'm to have a beard, but you can't prove there's 600. If it's not in the 613 laws, then you're following someone's religion. If you're following something that's not of God's time clock, then you're following someone's religion. So anyway, let me move on. So in Isaiah chapter 26 and 2, this actually is a Rosh Hashanah or a Feast of Trumpets scripture back in Isaiah. And he says, open the gates. This is a resurrection. This is a rapture scripture. Open ye the gates. So when I say open the gates, you should immediately know in your mind, had you been schooled, it's Feast of Trumpets. That's another name for it. Open the gates. This is why in Revelation chapter 4 that John was not able to have his vision of the heavenlies until he hears a shofar, a trumpet, and the door is open, the gate is open, and then he comes in. This will remain true all throughout the Bible. Open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. If you love me, keep my commandments. That is the truth. And who is the righteous nation? The believers in Christ. And so what we see, of course, is that starts the days of awe, which are those final days of Teshuvah, the time of repentance. And you notice this, that we have studied the star signs. Everything's tied to the heavens. Everything's tied to the seasons. Everything is tied in the Word to things that man cannot proliferate or change. And so what we see is that the star sign for Elul is a virgin. I think it's the virgin or weighed in the balance, but it is a sign of getting ready to meet the Lord. And so when we follow this 40-day plan, none of us can live for God to the fullest every day of the year. So we are given this 40-day period to get right, to get the oil in our lamps. We've got to understand God's for us. Jesus could show up tomorrow on national television. It's not going to change the unbeliever's mind. You're going to find out you could do signs and wonders, and I've seen this happen. It's not going to make anyone believe, maybe for a short while. That's why you need to recognize how lucky you are that you're the called. To understand that those of you listening, and we've picked up several new countries since last week, so we've got 65 countries tuning in. And those of you listening, to catch the fact that you have faith to receive what I'm teaching. This is foolishness to the world. I'm a nut to people in the world. But you know what? I'd rather please Jesus. I'd like to be famous. I'd like to be popular. It'd be great to be rich as long as I could hold on to Christ. But the truth is, the message that of the Word of God is offensive to people, archaic, and is historically undocumented in their minds. Little do they know. So these days of awe begin on this opening of the gates. Of course, they end on the Day of Atonement of the Great Trump. If you're not in the rapture, you're left on the earth to go through the days of awe. In Job chapter 31, now what I am looking at, and you may not understand how this has to do with the timeline. When I get to the timeline, I will be able to refer back to the lessons as I give you each portion of the timeline. And so all that are listening, and you can go back and you can plug in. Because for me to just get up and say, this happens, well, we're laying forth a biblical foundation so that when you hear other doctrines and dogmas, you can recognize the timeline so that you will know, well, that won't fit, or hey, that may fit, or gosh, that fits better than what I was taught here. But you need to understand this foundation. So with this opening of the gates for the righteous enter into the New Jerusalem at the last trump, I want to begin to look at a few scriptures in the Old Testament. And what we're doing is we are laying beyond a shadow of a doubt for all the people that cannot digest, because you have had years of teaching that the rapture may happen any time. No man knows the day or the hour, which is another day for the Feast of Trumpets. And that's what Jesus was referring to. When will be the sign of your coming? For no man knows the day or the hour. That's another title for the day of for the Feast of the Trumpets. So what we're doing is we are sharing that, just like he made the first four appointments, he's probably not going to try to trick us on the last three. So in Job 31, some Old Testaments, let me be weighed in an even balance, God may know my integrity. And so this portion of Teshuvah, to return, to repent, it is getting ready to make sure, because what you are seeing, I know we've lost this, but in the writers of the scriptures, as God moved upon them, on the people we must go back to, because what advantage hath the Jew? Much in every way, because unto them were given the oracles of God. So if you don't understand what they were given, you've got a new faith that somebody made up and you're following it. So what we see is we see that they always understood that this day of weighing in the balance is right before the resurrection. It is now time. At this time, God is looking at you, because he's not taking you by way of the grave now. He's about to take you that are alive, and so it's time to weigh you to see if you're ready to go. Those that have gone on have already been weighed. So let me be weighed in an even balance. Daniel 5:27, that was Job 31:6. Thou art weighed in the balances, and you're found wanting. And that's what Daniel speaks to the Persian king at the time. Isaiah 26 and 7, the way of the just is upright. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. So this weighing in the balance, even though it's not familiar to you, this is a very astoundingly strong biblical principle. That's why you being more precious than silver and gold. It's a principle of you are all being weighed. That's why the star signs has the balances. God is going to find out what material we are made out of when he puts us in the scale. Proverbs 16 and 2. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. So to bring this to focus, there are so many things that are going on right before and right during the Feast of Trumpets. It is a multifaceted stone. Another name for the days of awe are the Yamin Noraim, the awful days or awesome days. Another name for it. Now remember, it begins at the Feast of Trumpets. So whenever I say Feast of Trumpets, you're thinking, oh, rapture. No, you're wrong. Wrath of God. As in the days of Noah, what happened? As in the days of Lot. Well, as soon as you're safe, the wrath of God's poured out. So people that think, well, hey, I'll just miss the rapture. Well, you need to look at the biblical pictures of the past. When the door shuts, the flood comes. The rapture begins the wrath of God. Now, I'm not talking about the final 3.5 year wrath, but it's when the belt comes off and works its way up to that wrath. It's also called the indignation. So I'm giving you titles that are 2,000 years old, and because we have not been taught them does not make them so. So whoever controls your information controls you. There's a reason that people are Mormons. There's a reason that people are Muslims. There's a reason that people are Baptist and Catholic, Presbyterian, Charismatics, and Pentecostals. And so our job is to search the Scripture. And so the only way we can really rightly divide and understand, I've traveled 5 continents to study, to look, to learn, and couldn't do it as much as I wanted. But if you don't go back to the Hebraic roots and the Jewish understanding, and the Hebraic roots, they'll turn around, it's weird out there. So it's also called the indignation, Jacob's trouble, the birth pangs, the tribulation, Daniel's 70th week. All of this collimates at the Feast of Trumpets. It begins then. So when I speak or you hear any of these words in the Word of God or someone mention it, it's Feast of Trumpets. That's when it all begins. And so it's also called the time of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah 30 and 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he, Israel, shall be saved out of it. In Daniel 12 and 1. And at that time, now I won't get to it, I've got a lot to do here, but at that time is another terminology for in that day. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of the people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was, since there was a nation, even to that same time, and that time thy people shall be delivered. Bernardo, you're too comfortable back there. You need to bring me a cup of coffee, please. You look like you're about to go to sleep back there. Anyway, hey, you mind getting me a cup of coffee, Bernardo? Thanks very much. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Now there's 3 books. It's not like maybe we've learned. I've mentioned that in a prior lesson. Okay, so then we see in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, speaking of this time that begins the blowing of the shofar. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. So we see the Antichrist comes forth at this time. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And so this is the abomination of desolation in the middle of that time. Thank you, Bernardo. And so what we see is we see that we find this in the book of Revelations, chapter 6 through 19. The book of Revelations, chapter 6 through 19, covers this 7-year span of time. And the first 5 chapters are, and then the final 2 chapters, this 6 through 19. So if you want to plug those in. Then we also call this the time of tribulation. So once again, we're talking about these times that begin at the sounding of the shofar, which we know is the rapture of the church. Matthew 24 and 3, as they sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age. That's a King James translation. It says world. The world will not end until God renews and restores the heavens and everything. So it's the end of the age. So we are transitioning in this 7-year period to a new age. And it ain't going to be the age of Aquarius, okay? So it's going to be the age of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But watch the transition. So the transition is this statement. For then shall be great tribulation. So I'm a little confused, and this sounds quite judgmental, not bitter and not judgmental either. I just speak the truth as I perceive it, and I can be wrong. I'm a little confused in Christians that believe things are going to get better and better if they read their Bible. Because I don't see the correlation. I see no promise of that. Now, I see where I can have more peace. I see where I can prosper as my soul prospers. I can have more joy. So this is not, I'm going to get more depressed and no worried. I'm free from the world. That's what this is all about. But as far as the world goes, I'm going to be in Goshen. The plagues and all that stuff that comes, I may be affected by certain portions of them, and that's why I've prepared a storehouse. But for me and my house, we'll be all right, okay? For then shall be great tribulation, such was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor shall ever be. So now you know why people aren't going to listen to me, because I read these scriptures out loud. Jeremiah 30:7, time of Jacob's trouble. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but Israel will be saved out of it. And then Daniel 12:1, for the essence of time, I'll skip over it. You also want to read 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. And it is speaking of this rapture of the church. It's called the Day of Judgment. Okay, and it's whenever God who didn't spare the angels, and it goes on down, and just read it. I'm going to skip over it. I'll give you some other scriptures. It's also known as the birth pangs, the beginning of the Feast of Trumpets, in Jeremiah 30, verses 4 through 7. And these are the words the Lord spake concerning Israel and Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we've heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not peace. Ask now and see whether a man does travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is a time of Jacob's trouble. So here we are in Jeremiah as well. And once again, it's alluding to the fact of what happens. And this is why Jesus says, as in the days. As soon as he gets his righteous out of here, you don't want to be around. Okay? Isaiah, this is a good one. I won't read them all, but Isaiah verses 13, 6 through 11. So my purpose in giving you this stuff that people think is boring, the Old Testament, once you get turned on to how to rightly divide it, is so much more informative. I thank God for the New Testament. I thank God I'm a Spirit-filled believer. I thank God for the death of Christ. But all that does is it does everything. But it's just the reason I know who he is and what he is because I've studied the schoolmaster. And so when I want to learn more of him, he says the volume of the book's written of him. So everything I read in the Old Testament, I'm looking for Christ. When I look in the epistles, it's not near as informative. Anyway, let me go on. So in Isaiah 13, 6 through 11, howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. Now this is written way before you and I ever came along. This is the book of Isaiah. The day of the Lord, that's the portal, that's the time warp. That's where we immediately know we're transporting to the Feast of Trumpets. And therefore, this is a prophetic statement. How? For the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that is prevail. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces will be as flames. Isaiah 26:17-21. Like as a woman with child that draweth near, the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We've been with child, we've been in pain, we have as it were brought forth wind, we've not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. And thy dead men shall live together, with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing. So you can read this. I'm going to skip to verse 20. What you're seeing now is as you gain knowledge, the Old Testament. Now, I did not diss the New Testament earlier. I love the New Testament. But to grow in my knowledge of the new, I've got to know the old. Isn't it alarming to you? We've got all these New Testament churches and one Bible. And that's why you can't agree on what it means and says. But you can if you lay it on the foundation. There's just one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Therefore, speak the truth in love until we all come into the unity of the faith. And this faith goes back into the Jewish root. And we're not to be Jews, but that's where we've got to understand it from. All right. So he says, so now watch. So here we've got We've got these labor pains going on, and we've got all of a sudden resurrection. Dead men live together with my dead body. Verse 20, now we've got protection. Isaiah 26 and 20, come my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut the doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. Verse 21, pretty eye-opening. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. And so I'm going to go ahead and jump to the New Testament, Matthew 24 and 8. And Jesus says, and all these things are the beginning of sorrow, after he gives his discourse about the day of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3 through 5 simply states, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail. So we get now birth pains, Feast of Trumpets, Day of the Awakening. See, as you learn these things, you say, why is this relevant? Well, when you first start learning them, they're not relevant at all. But you have to trust your teacher that if his lifestyle adds up to a successful walk with Christ, he's not wasting your time. He's trying to teach you how to successfully walk in the Lord. And faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. You're going to find out most Christians get a concept of God, and they think he just, you know, they just believe in the Lord. Now, they don't serve him. They don't know his word. But that's American Christianity. It's like Santa Claus. Well, I'm a Christian. Interesting. And I hear my wife coughing like, get off that subject and teach the word. So you, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. You're children of light. God hasn't appointed us to wrath, so these days won't catch us unaware. So we know that the Feast of Trumpets begins with what we call the last trump. And so those of you that aren't familiar, real quickly, that is a correct terminology. We get that in 1 Corinthians 15 and 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. So just for your information, the first trump was blown at Mount Sinai. And we find that if there's a last trump, then there had to be a first trump. So we find the first trump blown in Exodus chapter 19, verse 16. And it says, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning. And we have already learned in prior lessons, the third day and the seventh day are the identical same day in God's clock. Because one is Old Testament markings and the other is new. Jesus said, the third day I shall be glorified. He came forth on the fourth day after 4 days. So we've got Adam 1,000 years. We just marched through Abraham 1,000 years, David 1,000 years, and then the kings and so on with that. So Christ comes forth after 4 days, 4,000 years. Now then, yet back at the mountain, I'm going back to when he brings the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. It is a prophetic picture. He tells them, in the third day I'll come down on the sight of all the people. So when we add the third day of Christ, he comes forth on the fourth day. He was here 2,000 years ago, and the third day will be the beginning of the seventh day of God, the rest day. So I hope that's plain. I don't have time to say it again in this teaching. So, therefore, in Exodus 19:6, where the first trump is blown, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud in the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled. So, these two trumps, the first and the last, are seen prophetically as from the Akedah, which is Genesis chapter 22, when Abraham goes up to the mountaintop to slay Isaac, and God says, I will provide myself a lamb. He stops Abraham's hand, and there he has the ram that's caught in a thicket, and he is slain. For those of you that wonder how Abraham could have killed and offered up Isaac, who, by the way, was 30 years old at the time, what we see is we see that he had already spoken prophetically, because resurrection is an Old Testament subject, and therefore he had already told the men below, you wait here. He already knew why he was going to the mountaintop. He said, and I and the lad will return. So his faith was not the fact that he was only going to slay his son Isaac, but his faith was in the fact of the resurrection. God was going to show him his resurrection power. And so this is, it's very deep. It's all great. So then, the other thing we're going to see is we're going to see the great shofar, which if those of you that have always used Matthew 24 and 31, because I was confused about that for years until I came into greater knowledge of our ancient faith of the Hebrews. Matthew 24, 31 is not the last trump. It's the shofar Haggadah, and that's why it is not confused as called the last trump, but it's called the great trump. And Matthew 24, 31, and he shall send his angels with a great trump of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And so what we see here is the fact that at the end of the 7 years tribulation, when Christ comes back, I believe on the Day of Atonement, which tells us when the 7 year peace accord will be signed, which will be on the Day of Atonement, which follows the rapture of the church by 1 week. They will have to make some immediate decisions. This is why the 10 kings give the Antichrist power immediately. Things are happening so rapidly. Man, can you imagine trying to get anything through a Senate or through a bunch of politicians? And so then when Christ comes back, then what this shofar Haggadah is it is blown, because now it is those that have survived and become believers in Yeshua. They don't get resurrected, so the angels come and they bring them back to Jerusalem, so to speak. The separation of the wheat and the tares, the goats and the sheep. Okay, let's look at a couple of photographs as we bring this thing to a close. Joseph is released from prison. Why? Because he's going to tell them about the seven bad years they need to prepare for. There's a typology for you. The high priest, he is taken from his house 7 days before the Day of Atonement. And so the Day of Atonement, there's your 1 week leading up to Christ returning. Ezekiel 46 and 1, thus saith the Lord God, the gate of the inner court that looks toward the east shall be shut in the 6 working days, but on the Shabbat, on the 7th day, it will be open. Opening of the gates in heaven. So what I'm sharing with you, in the day of the new moon, it will be open. So day of the new moon is Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Kodesh, beginning of each month. So what should be happening to some of you that have been Talmudim, some of you that have been students for a while, that are listening, that are attending, what should be happening is all of a sudden, in the beginning, you're like, why am I learning this stuff? I love Jesus. Well, so do I. He's my Lord, my Savior. He's everything to me. And everything I teach is Him. But what should be happening if you've stayed around and you have figured out that all of a sudden you're starting to see some things like you've never seen them before, and it's not confusing, it's very plain. This is why the apostles and the followers of Christ were able to go to their death. It's not because they had a great prayer language. It's because I believe in that. I love speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Okay, but people can get weird and all that stuff. All right. The point I'm trying to make is once you have a mind that understands biblical concepts, you'll never be the same. Because this is the truth. And everything else around you is a mirage. It's like the movie, you know. I can't think of the name of it. Take the blue pill or the red pill. And what's the name of that?
Matrix,
yeah. And so as what should be happening is all of a sudden, if I'm doing my job at all, you can see where it's so vast, there's no way I could sit down and you say, well, what do you believe? Well, how many weeks can you give me? Because to lay this thing down, it's in layers. And as you learn each layer, you listen to people speak and you recognize that they're doing the best they know how and what they've been taught. The purpose of the hearing of the shofar, I'm not going to get into that. I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to make a turn real quickly. And in this last few moments, I want to share something that I think might be of interest to you, because it's another terminology I've mentioned that we really need to go to. And that is the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is 1,000 years. And when you go through your Old Testament, I want you to begin to look for in that day, at that time. And you'll find about 300 references to it. And these will transport you to Daniel's 70th week, the Feast of Trumpets. And you'll find out they are prophetic. They are little inserts that God has made to express to you about this time of the future. That's why the New Testament doesn't say much about it till we get to the book of Revelations, because it's all already been written. And I've got to plug this, and this is not judgmental, and I'm not, gosh, man, I believe God, I wouldn't judge anyone. I believe God can save a guy on the street that says, I believe in the Lord, and the rapture happens. God wants to bring him home. I'm off, so I'm not here to talk about that stuff. But I want to say this to you. Whenever we begin to study these things, what happens is that it so will change you. Anyway, let me get off it. Isaiah 2 and 11. I want to get on some Day of the Lord scriptures real quickly. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled. Now, look at the context. Look at what's being said every time we look at this portion. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. That's another terminology in the Old Testament and the New Testament for the Day of the Lord. So now that you understand this concept, suddenly the manual begins to make more sense than it ever did, because you can begin to plug in different pieces. It's not written like a chronological book in order. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and the lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. So here we see what God begins to do on the day of the Lord. And you could have read this without having a little bit of this knowledge. You'd never know this is a prophetic scripture, would you? It's prophesying about the rapture. It's prophesying about the day of the Lord. It's prophesying about Daniel's 70th week. And it fits perfectly with what we've learned as Christians. God hates pride. God's going to humble these that think, you know, that have made the world their everything. All right, Isaiah 2 and 17. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. So what day is it talking about? Well, it's always going to be talking about the same day. And now you know what day that is. The day of the Lord. Starts the Feast of Trumpets. So I am hitting you as hard as I can to get you out of your programming. Those of you that are listening, thousands of you that have been raised in churches that have always been taught the rapture can happen at any time. I'm not trying to be a guru or a prophet. I'm trying to bring you to the knowledge that you've got to catch these appointments and feasts to rightly divide the word. It's not to make you Jewish. It's not to make you worship on a Saturday. This is to teach you the word of God and to glorify Christ. Isaiah 2 and 20. So in that day, once again, a man shall cast his idols of silver. So it's talking about false religion will be thrown away. When? In that day. Isaiah 3 and 18. In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tent. He'll take away idolatry, is what it's going to tell you. Isaiah 3 and 18. Isaiah 4, 1 and 2. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man and say, we'll eat our own bread and wear our apparel. Only let us be called by thy name, Israel, Christ, to take away our reproach. For in that day shall the branch, the Zamach, the Savior, the Mashiach of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth for them that are escaped. Okay, Isaiah 5 and 3. In that day they shall roar against them like the roaring of the sea. If one look into the land, behold darkness and sorrow, and light is darkened in the heavens thereof. Isaiah 7 and 18. It will come to pass in that day that the Lord will hiss. Isaiah 7, 21 through 23. I'm just going to give you some scriptures on tape and you can read it later. Isaiah 10 and 20. And it shall come to pass in that day the remnant of Israel are escaped out of the house of Jacob and stayed upon him that smote them, but they shall stay upon the Lord. Isaiah 10, 27. It will come to pass in that day his burden will be taken off. You can read them later. Isaiah 11 and 10. In that day there will be a root of Jesse, which is Christ, returning the Messiah. Now, I can just keep going and keep going and keep going. Isaiah 13 and 6, and those of you that have watched the screen, I've scrolled through many scriptures. Howl, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It will come as a destruction from the Almighty. Isaiah 13 and 9, behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. He will destroy the sinners out of it. Now, I'm going to skip over the hundreds of scriptures for those of you that haven't plugged into the Old Testament yet, because you have been taught that that's been, you know, we're just New Testament church. Well, I'm a New Testament believer. My God, I've got a better covenant. I understand all that. But to rightly divide the truth, so you're going to find out that the New Testament is just commentary on the old. And the best way I've heard it expressed is like this. Some of you may understand, some may not. But if I say hot dogs, peanuts, popcorn, dun, 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 you know immediately I'm talking about baseball, because that's something that some of you would be very familiar with. Well, when we get familiar with the things of God, I can make one statement and immediately transport you to the stadium. And you understand everything going on. But when you have no firm foundation. So from that, I think we'll try this. Let me just jump in this last moment here. to the New Testament, and we'll look at a few scriptures. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of the Lord. There's just one Lord. Philippians 1 and 10, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of the Lord. Oh, all of a sudden, this is taking on a whole new revelatory thought, isn't it? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, who shall also confirm you unto the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord. When is that day? Well, you know now. And so as we begin to draw our timeline, you're going to see that the reason that I'm going and walking you through all this verbiage is so that hopefully you're not somebody that's really not interested. You just want somebody to give you 3 points in a poem so you can get everything you know about God in a 10-minute lesson so you can go on about your life. When I give you the timeline, you've got to understand it's going to be predicated on hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of scriptures that we didn't just throw out because we watched the nightly news. Got that? And I'm smiling here. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14. As you have knowledge us in part, that we are rejoicing, even as you also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. Revelation 6, 16 and 17. And he said to the mountains and the rocks, fall and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of wrath is come, the day of the Lord. I'm out of time. I hope something said here will be informative and help your faith. Go forth and reach someone for Jesus. Love your wives. Hug your kids. Share the good news of the Scripture.